The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord our God and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and have and turned their backs, verse 7, and they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah, Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye have seen with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense. Heavenly Father, I pray you help us as we go once again to your blessed word. Help me to bring forth your word and say exactly what needs to be said, what you would want me to say. Help me be guided by your blessed spirit. May the glory of God be exalted tonight. Thank you for who you are and what you desire to do through us until Jesus comes. We ask all of this in your precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, this is not an unfamiliar story here. But I believe it. I'll tell you what, God's put something on my heart, especially the last few months that my family and I have been back here in the U.S. You know, one question that we've been asked more than any other question during the 2.5 months that we've been here so far is this question. What do you think about what's happening in America? And I'm sure that's a concern every one of you here tonight have as well. You know, I'll say this. I'm concerned about what's happening in America, but I'm more concerned about being faithful to what God has for me to do. Amen? And I believe that should be the spiritual approach that we take to these perilous times in which we're living. Amen? If every Christian were more concerned about being fully yielded and fully surrendered and just sold out to Jesus Christ, maybe America wouldn't be in the mess that she's in today. Amen? I believe that. And I'm pointing fingers at myself too. You know, I'm concerned about America, but I'm not concerned about it from a political standpoint, although I know a political standpoint is dividing our nation, but I think you and I who are believers in Jesus Christ can look at America through spiritual eyes. And as we look through it through biblical eyes, we see that America's only hope is Jesus Christ. Amen? America's hope is Jesus Christ. And by the way, the same divide, the same political divide that's gripping America and dividing America is the same political divide that's gripping and dividing the entire world before the return of Jesus Christ. Here's a king who faced a similar situation. You look at Hezekiah's life and you'll see his house was divided. Amen? His father wasn't known for being good for anything. He was a wicked man. King Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, I mean, he did everything possible to lead the kingdom of Judah away from their God, away from what was right, and away from pleasing the God who created them and had done everything for them. here a young man by the name of Hezekiah becomes king at the young age of 25 years old. Hezekiah, as a 25-year-old man, what I love about his life and testimony as we study it in Scripture is that as a 25-year-old man, he had some convictions. Amen? I believe every Christian ought to have some convictions, don't you? We ought to know what we believe. We ought to know what the Bible says, and we ought to stick to it till the end. Amen? One of the heartbreaking things that I've seen just in the short few months that we've traveled is how some of the Bible-believing churches that we visited 4 years ago are starting to drift a little bit. They're starting to let more of the world come in, and the attendance is dropping, and Christians are asking God, what's going on here, when they need to be pointing at themselves and saying, what's going on with me? How come I'm not being faithful to God? What we need in America is revival. Amen? You know that. I know that. I believe that. And I know you believe that. And I believe in order for revival to take place, we ought to have some convictions in our heart. Not preferences, convictions. I learned a long time ago, my father taught me there's a difference between preferences and convictions. Preference is something you prefer, but a conviction is something you're willing to die for. We ought to be willing to die for the beautiful principles and the wonderful teachings that we find here in this blessed book. Stand for it. Amen? Be unashamed of it. And boldly proclaim the name of Jesus Christ until we stand before Him face to face someday. Hezekiah was a man, a 25-year-old man, who was known at that young age as a reformer. He was known as a righteous king. Think of that. He had integrity. He was devout. He was zealous. Some refer to him as a second David. You know, if you study the whole life of Hezekiah, and we can only read the Scripture. We don't actually hear him saying these things to the nation of the kingdom of Judah. How they needed to repent and turn from their sin and turn back to God. But I believe I can sense a little bit of anger here, don't you? A little bit of what we may refer to as righteous indignation. Can I take you back to the battlefield when young David stood there at the battlefield when Goliath was blaspheming the name of his God? And ridiculing and mocking the nation of Israel, and all those soldiers just stood there and cowered in fear. And David speaks up and says, is there not a cause? Is there not something to fight for? David, by the Spirit of God, is stirred with a righteous indignation, and he went out there and said, bless God, if I'm the only one to fight this giant, I'll do it. And that's exactly what he did, and God gave him the victory that day. I think we all need to be stirred up a little bit more, and probably all the time with a righteous indignation. Let's not forget that Jesus himself was stirred with righteous indignation many times during earthly ministry. He chased the money changers out of the temple. This is the house of God, and you've turned it into a place of merchandise. We got to stay stirred up. Listen. We ought to have the love of Christ in us, but there's that's the supreme motivation, but there's more to motivating us than just the love of Christ. If you love Christ, then you automatically hate that which is evil and wrong. You make sure it's not in your own heart. You do everything you can to help others come to the truth. There are three things I want you to see about Hezekiah tonight as we consider a house divided, a king decided. The first thing I want you to notice is the challenges he faced. We've highlighted those briefly tonight. Here he is following in the footsteps of a wicked father. I can't even relate to that. As I shared with you a few minutes ago in my testimony, my father, as far as I know, he's been a godly man. He's been a pastor and a missionary, and God's used him in a great way to bring many people to Christ. And I'm honored to have grown up in a family like that and to have a father like that. I can't even put myself in Hezekiah's shoes. And I can't even relate to it, but maybe I'm in more in awe of the stand that he chose to make as a young man against overwhelming odds. You know as well as I do that when Hezekiah sat down with the men of the kingdom of Judah and said, hey, listen, now that I'm king, we're going to do things a little bit differently. You know as well as I do, not everybody was in favor of it. Amen? Not everybody was in favor of it. And I think Hezekiah said, hey, listen, you may not all agree with me. Many of you may think we ought to follow the same path that my daddy took, but I happen to believe differently. I happen to believe there's a God in heaven that wants us to do what's right. Amen. And I'm going to be that man of God. You know, Hezekiah wasn't even a preacher. Amen? He wasn't even a preacher. He was a king. And yet God used him to turn a whole kingdom back to God. Of all the righteous kings of the kingdom of Judah, there was none like Hezekiah. He overcame all the challenges that were thrown against him. You know, I'm sure every one of you could come up here tonight and share with us challenges that you faced in your life, challenges that the devil has thrown at you, trying to discourage you and defeat you, trying to get you to turn back from living for Jesus Christ and turn back from your commitment to God. And I believe after every one of us had an opportunity to share those challenges, we could raise our hand to heaven and say, but by the grace of God, I'm still in the race. Amen? But by the grace of God, I'm still here. I'm still faithful to God. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Amen? He faced challenges. He had a wicked father. He faced a difficult decision. What direction do I go in? But he wisely said, listen, it doesn't matter if everybody else is doing wrong. I'm going to do right. Boy, that's the spirit of Christ, isn't it? That's what we need today. We need believers who will stand up and say, hey, listen, I don't care what all the other churches are doing. I don't care what all the other believers are doing. I don't care about all the drifting that's going on. I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to be faithful to the end. God help us, amen, to be faithful to the end. It's not a spirit of pride. In fact, it's just it's a spirit of humility. God, I can't stand without you. I'm nothing without you. I'll drift down that road of compromise like everybody else, if not for the grace of God. Amen? I believe it's an act of pure humility to come before a holy God and say, God, I'd be just in that mire and that mess that everybody else is in if it weren't for the grace of God. Praise God for that. Amen? He faced challenges. Boy, I don't know how long, preacher, I don't know how long the Lord's going to tarry his coming, but I do know this, if he tarries his coming for a while longer, there's going to be some more challenges to face. Amen? There are going to be some more challenges to face. And the same amazing grace that got us through the challenges of the past, praise God, the same grace that's going to get us through the challenges of tomorrow and beyond. Praise God for that. Amen? Let me show you a second thing here quickly tonight. I want you to see the commitment he foresaw. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 4, 2 Chronicles 29. The Bible says, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said to them, hear me, ye Levites. Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. I love one of the first things he did was he cleansed the house of God. Amen? He cleansed it. He got all the wickedness out and said, hey, listen, if we want the blessing of God on us, the house of God better get clean and stay clean. Amen? I believe your pastor in this church is a church that believes on keeping the house of God pure and holy before a righteous God. And that's the way it should be. You want God to bless it? Stay holy. Amen? You want God to bless your life personally? Stay holy. Live a holy life. Not just when you come to church on Sunday, but when everybody else is gone and you're all alone, live holy. Amen? Be a man of integrity. Be a woman of integrity. That's the spirit of Christ. That's the evidence that Christ is working in you. Skip down, if you would, quickly to verse verse number 7. The Bible says, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offering in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye have seen with your own eyes. Boy, there's so much here I could share with you, but I just want to emphasize this. You know what Hezekiah saw as a young man? He envisioned himself not only living for God today, but living for God tomorrow, living for God a week later, a month later, a year later, until he took his last breath on earth. He said, by the grace of God, I want to make a commitment as king, and I want us to make a commitment as a kingdom, the people of God, that we're going to get rid of everything that needs to be gotten rid of. We're going to keep it out. Keep it out of our own personal lives. Keep it out of the house of God. And we're going to be committed to God with our whole heart until the very end. And I believe that's the message God wants us to hear again tonight, don't you? Just be committed to the very end. Don't be discouraged and downhearted by all those that are choosing to live wrong, because the Bible makes it clear there will be a day of reckoning. Amen? There will be a day of judgment. I want to make sure I'm standing on the right side of that day of judgment, don't you? I want to be standing with those that have been redeemed and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb and know that their sins have been forgiven. The commitment he foresaw, you know, one of the things that disheartens me, in fact, I'll just share this with you very briefly. I went out to eat with a pastor and his wife just a few evenings ago. He took my wife and I and our family out to eat. And he said to me this question. He said to me, what is the thing that shocked you the most since you've been back here in the U.S. after not being here for 4 years? He said, you can be honest. I said, thank you. I said, I was going to be honest with your permission or without it. Amen. Yeah. I said, the thing that shocks me the most is how many Christians are uncommitted to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the thing that shocks me the most. I've called up pastors before and said, hey, can we come on a Wednesday evening and give an update or present our work? And they said, well, Brother Deku, we don't have but a handful of people that come on a Wednesday evening. So don't come on Wednesday, come on another night. Come on Sunday morning. That's when I understand the biggest crowds are on Sunday morning, but God help us. It's good to see a good group of people here tonight. Amen? That encourages my heart to know that you're not just a Sunday morning Christian, but you love Jesus all week long. And that's the way it should be. Amen? You've shown your commitment to Jesus Christ by being here tonight. You've not only encouraged your pastor by being here tonight, but you've also honored the Lord. And I think that's a wonderful thing, don't you? To honor the Lord. That's the thing that shocked me the most. I thought to myself, man, when I come back in 4 more years, how much more of a have a change will there be in our Bible-believing church? I don't go to liberal church. I'm talking about Bible-believing churches. God help us. God help us. I wouldn't step a foot in the liberal churches. Not for a second. Not for all the money in the world. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to do what's right. Amen? We all ought to have that attitude. The challenges he faced, the commitment he foresaw. The Bible says in 2 Kings 8:16, he clave to the Lord. I like that. The Bible says in 2 Kings 18:7, and the Lord was with him. 2 Kings 18:3, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You know, I thought to myself, I was at a funeral not too long ago, and they were giving eulogy for the person who had passed away, and I thought to myself, if that were me lying in that coffin box, those were the only 3 things I once said about me. He clave unto the Lord, the Lord was with him, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Boy, it doesn't get any better than that, amen? Those 3 things, may they be said of all of us when we stand before the Lord and we take our last breath on this earth. Thirdly and lastly, the covenant he followed. Look again at verse 11, if you would. Let's begin in verse 10 because we really see the heart of the matter here in verse 10. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. Boy, you know where revival begins? It begins right in the heart. Amen? And it began in the heart of Hezekiah. And he says that, right? He said, it is in my heart. I think so many times in our Christian lives, we're making decisions for God, but they may begin in the heart, but they don't stay in the heart. And that's why they don't last. Amen? They sort of drift away a little bit. But I'll tell you what, when the Spirit of God does work in your heart, it should be a permanent work. Amen? It should be an eternal work, an everlasting work. Here we see a man, no doubt, that was being dealt with by the Spirit of God. I had an older, I believe he was a Presbyterian pastor, who came to hear me preach a few Sundays back up in New York State. And he came up to me and he said, Brother Deku, he said, I have to correct you a little bit. He was much older than me. And I said, okay. He says, you preached out of the Old Testament. And he said, you didn't preach out of the New Testament. He says, the Holy Spirit's not in the Old Testament. And I took a deep breath and I said, well, sir, I said, I want to be as respectful as I can. But I said, if the Holy Spirit's not in the Old Testament, I said, we're all in trouble. Amen? We're all in trouble. I believe the Spirit of God was at work here. Hey, don't tell me the Holy Spirit wasn't at work. Remember David's penitent psalm in Psalms 51? He said, and remove not, take not the Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit of God was with him, and David lived in Old Testament times. Woo. The Lord was with Joseph. Amen. He was with all of them. The Holy Spirit of God was there. Boy, I tell you what, the Christian life is a life that has to be fully committed to God. And we ought to get on our knees constantly and rededicate ourselves to God when we stumble and fall. Amen? The Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Hey, we are what we are by the grace of God. Amen? But I'll be honest with you, there's times when I'm not everything I should be for Jesus Christ, and perhaps you'd be honest and say, man, the same thing is true, but isn't it refreshing when you can get down on your face before God and say, God, boy, I've done wrong. I displeased you. I know your forgiveness is there, but I don't just want forgiveness. I'm going to recommit myself to you. I'm going to recommit my life and everything that I have and all that I am to you, because without you, I wouldn't be here. Without you, I wouldn't have anything to live for. Amen? I wouldn't have anything to live for. I'm so privileged to be a child of God, aren't you? It's a privilege to be a child of God. I don't want to live for anything else. I don't want to do anything else. I want to do exactly what I was saved, created, and saved to do, and that is to bring glory and honor to my Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, because Hezekiah led his people to renew their covenant with God, boy, God blessed that. God used that to bring a great revival to the kingdom of Judah. They went in and they busted up their idols. Boy, that's another sermon in and of itself. Amen, preacher? You know, we may not have the actual idols set up in our homes, but God help us. We got a lot of little idols in our lives, don't we, that are keeping us from being fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. God help us all. Amen. Myself included. Clear them out by the grace of God. Keep our heart clean. In the midst of a divided house, hey, America's a divided house. Maybe you even come from a family that's, some of them are saved and some of them are not. You're in a divided house, aren't you? I've met people before who's, you know, either the husband or wife is saved and one of them isn't. That's a divided house. I love what Joshua said. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Amen? We're going to serve God. A house divided, but thank God there was a king decided. Amen? He knew what he needed to do. The Spirit of God told him, and all he did was obey it. God help us to live that way until Jesus comes. And I think if every Christian starts living that way, God could bring revival. God will bring revival to America and turn our country back to God before it's too late. Let's bow in prayer tonight.